how you follow that. I've preached in places where if somebody died during the service, you'd have to take everybody's pulse to figure out which one it was. It's kind of unusual. Have a little life. Imagine what it's going to be like when we hit the street and go. I tell you, if we'd have a new body, we'd just explode. We couldn't take it. I look forward to it. I do. It ain't just because I'm getting to be an old geezer and broke down. I tell you, I love the Lord and I look forward to seeing Him face to face. 38 years I've been preaching and bragging on Him. And I've not yet seen Him, but I'm going to. Turn to Mark chapter 5 tonight and we're going to talk about the old story again. And I'm still hoping somebody will come trust Christ and get saved. That's really what we were aiming at. If it don't happen, I'm not going to feel discouraged. I've preached so far, I've preached what the Lord's given me, and I intend to do that tonight, tomorrow night too, and I'll do that as long as I'm able. I'm a street preacher, that's probably obvious. My mannerisms are not exactly household. But I tell you, I love to see people saved. And I love to see people serving God. These young folks, man, I tell you, I've prayed for years. I've been a member of this church, I don't know, 20-something years probably. But I've prayed for years that God would raise up some young folks, get involved in the street ministry and the jail and just everything that goes on. Because some of us old geezers, like you said the other night, we ain't always going to be around. I'm not kidding myself. If the Lord don't come one day after a while, six of my best friends will carry me to a hole in the ground and I'll be picking turnips with a stepladder. I don't worry about it, and it don't cross my mind. I'm saved. Before this body hits the floor, I'll be kicking up gold dust. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for this time. Lord, thank you for the good singing, the good spirit. Lord, it's been good already all week, and it's good tonight. We could give an altar call and just go home. But Lord, I'm thankful that we have an opportunity to lift you up and raise you up and glorify you. We long for the day when we can bow before you, Lord, and kiss your feet. Love you like we really want to. Lord, we do love you. We desire your presence. I ask you tonight, the Holy Spirit, to move up and down these aisles and convince of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Lord, I thank you so much for these dear people being faithful. And I just pray now, Lord, you won't disappoint them, but you'll give them something that they need tonight that'll encourage them to go on and do something for you. Lord, I thank you again for your many blessings. I thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And Lord, for the eternal life you've given me. And I thank you that you've given me something to do. And I ask you now to use me that I might bring honor and glory to your name, even if it's in spite of me. I ask you to hide me behind Jesus Christ, that he's glorified, lifted up. Lord, that we can get a look at you tonight. We haven't had for a while. We love you. And Lord, as always, I pray if there's any way you can work it out, you'll come today. Lord, should there be one here in this service lost, convict them, deal with them, draw them that they might be saved this day. Thank you, Father. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Mark chapter 5, and let's begin reading in verse 25, and we'll see what happens. And he says, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, 12 years. And, of course, I'm not getting into doctrine tonight, but you'll find 12 years shows up again in this chapter with a girl 12 years old, and it's dealing with the tribulation that's coming and the nation of Israel, and God's dealing with them during that time. But notice, we're still before the cross, and so what we have is a picture of New Testament salvation. And so we're going to preach it just that way. But this woman had an issue of blood 12 years. And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee,
And sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, and knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, be whole of thy plague. And I'm preaching tonight on the subject, touching the hem of his garment. I'll tell you, 41 years ago, I got a touch, and I didn't realize what I'd got in on. All I knew, I was a sinner lost and going to hell, and I knew if the Lord didn't do something for me, I was going to get there. And I was going to knock a hole in hell so big it'd take the devil 6 months to patch it up. And I knew the Lord could help me. I didn't know anything else. I didn't know John 3:16. I had no theological education. I just knew I was a sinner in need, and I knew that He was the helper. And I got a touch, and boy, I'll tell you, I got plugged in. I got much more than a touch. I got adopted as a son of God. I made an heir of Jesus Christ and a joint heir with Him, with God Almighty. What's His is mine, and what's mine is His. And one day after a while, boy, we're going to culminate this thing at the marriage of the Lamb. And boy, I'll tell you, we'll come back for the supper, and we'll just sit down with Him and have us a supping good time. Amen. Boy, isn't that the way it's going to work? I'm glad tonight I'm saved. I'm glad I got all that to look forward to. I'll be there when they crown Him King of Kings. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you, what a time. They'll bring forth the royal diadem, and they'll crown Him. And boy, I'll tell you, we'll be there. I've been to weddings after weddings after weddings. I've had opportunities to officiate over a lot. I've been to a lot of them. And boy, I'll tell you, when that music starts and everybody stands and looks, and here comes the bride, boy, I get thinking, that's a picture of Jesus Christ marrying His bride, the church. And boy, they'll start to play the music of heaven. And about the time angels and principalities are standing and looking, boy, here come the bride, all dressed in white, spotless and clean. Boy, we've done been through the judgment seat. Everything is settled. And boy, I'll tell you, we'll join with our lovely bridegroom for all of eternity. I'm telling you, that ought to make a Presbyterian shout tonight. Jesus Christ is alive, and He's well, and He's still in the life-changing business. Hallelujah. And if you don't know what I'm talking about tonight, you can get in on it. Hallelujah. And boy, we'll go through the wedding. We'll crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And boy, then we're going to have us a time. You ain't never seen nothing like it. Pardon me, that's not the message. I just thought I'd throw that in. Talking about a woman with an issue of blood. And this woman is a picture of an unsaved sinner. And this picture we see in the first place, she has an incurable disease. She has many, many physicians of no value. Job knew about those. I mean, in her time of need, she found no help. I mean, she spent everything she had and a retirement and a pension to go along with it. And for 12 years, she didn't get any better. She just got worse. And so she had an incurable disease, and it was a matter of the blood. I mean, the scripture says she had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she'd suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Boy, I mean, you talk about a hopeless situation. I couldn't tell you how many times over the years I've dealt with unsaved people in the street, in their homes, in places like jail cells, in places like beer joints. I've sat with sinners that were at the end of their road. They were at the end of their rope, at the bottom of the barrel. They had no hope. They had nothing to look forward to. Their family was gone. Their job was gone. Their income was gone. Their health was gone. They were at the bottom of the barrel. They had nowhere to turn. They didn't know who to look to or where to look for. But I was able to sit down and offer them some help. Hey, if you can just get enough faith to touch the hem of His garment, hey, you can get something real. I promise you, He'll put it right down inside you where you can't lose it. Amen. Well, you pardon me. These guys believe you can be saved and then be lost. I wouldn't give you a dime for them. I'm sorry. I just wouldn't do it. Jesus Christ, brother, what he does once and for all, finally and forever. Hey, this Bible says every priest standeth daily, ministering and oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, amen, he sat out at the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever, amen. Hallelujah. You pardon me. Brother, I got plugged in. I got in on that deal. Best deal I ever got in on. Man, I've had good deals. I've had bad deals. I've made some good deals and I've made some bad ones. I've bought some automobiles and got a pretty good deal. I've bought some and I paid a lot more than I should have. And I had to blame myself. I kicked myself around the block. But boy, this deal here was the best deal I ever got in on. I'm telling you, when I got plugged in, I got a brand new father. Hey, I never had a daddy. My daddy got killed when I was young. I grew up without a dad. Basically raised myself. That's why you can see what a self-made man looks like. Like the little girl said, looks like if he made himself, he'd made himself better than that. But I didn't have a daddy. And boy, I got saved. And I got a brand new father. And I began to enjoy that. Man, it don't matter what was going on. I could step into the throne room any time to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, because I've got a mediator that's at the right hand, and the Holy Ghost always interceding on our behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. He knows our mind and our heart and what we're desiring. And hey, he'll translate it to the Father. I may not always be praying like I ought to pray. I don't always know what to pray for. I may be praying for healing. What I really need is just endure it. Amen. I mean, I don't know sometimes what God's up to, but I know this. I can step into the throne room where my daddy's at, where he's sitting on the throne. I can step right in there. I don't have to worry about it. I'm welcome. I'm at ease. I'm at home. I got a brand new father. Hallelujah. Amen. I got a brand new family. I look around, man. You folks are my family. I'm saved. You're saved. Bless God, we're family. This is my family. Hey, you're more a part of me than I am of you, I'll tell you. I appreciate this church. I didn't come here because of family. I came here because of doctrine. And I just got adopted into this bunch. Y'all just have put up with me now. I've been here too long to go anywhere else. But I got a brand new family. I got a brand new future. I was hopeless. I was shipwrecked. I had nothing to get up in the morning for. I'd have to take a pill to get up. I'd have to take a pill to stay up. I'd have to take a pill to go to bed. I was like that every day, all day. I was hitting the bottle. I was smoking the weed. I was doing all the wicked things the world said you need to do to be happy and enjoy life. And I was as miserable as a poisoned dog. I was ready to blow my own brains out. I was sick of sin, sick of the devil, sick of the world. Hey, and I come to Jesus Christ, and I just a little touch, amen, and my future changed. I went from being a child of the devil to a child of God. I went from walking in darkness to walking in light. Hey, I got translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. Why, you pardon me, that ought to make a Methodist shout. Not only did I get a brand new future, I got a brand new friend. My old drinking buddies, when I was in trouble, I couldn't find a one of them. Boy, they're your friends. You'll find that out, young folks. You hang with that bunch. You'll find out who your real friends are when you hit the skids. But I'll tell you, when I wrecked my car and I didn't have no way to get to the beer joint. And I'll tell you the truth, these guys that were supposed to be my friends, they'd drive past me and wouldn't even pick me up. That was my friends. But boy, I got saved and I got with a bunch. Man, I'll tell you, they love you. I've had people come by and give me money. They didn't know I needed it. I never told anybody I needed it. I'd just be praying about it and somebody'd show up with it. There have been times I've prayed about needing groceries and I've had somebody come by and say, hey, I just God told me I need to bring this to you. And they cooked a meal and brought it. And me and my kids would sit down and eat. Hallelujah. I never told nobody I needed that. I just got plugged into one that loves me. And he's concerned about me. And he's caring about me. And he's looking out for me. And he's, hey, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. I'm telling you, the righteous are as bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Hey, when I wasn't right with God, all you had to do was fire a shot and I was gone. You wouldn't see me again. Brother, I'll tell you, I got plugged in. I got something real. God gave me a book. He told me to preach it. Hey, I'm glad, thank God, I got something to do for him. Hallelujah. I don't want to be on the outside. When I was growing up, boy, I loved sports. I'll get to the message in a minute. Maybe, I don't know. If I don't, I'll preach it tomorrow night. I was growing up, I loved sports like all you guys. I'm not against sports, incidentally. I love it still. I go to the ball games. I get excited. I watch, man, a good play happens. I feel like jumping up and running. I get excited. Boy, when I played with passion. I didn't like losing. And sometimes I'd done some things that was illegal. I mean, it wasn't legal, but it was trendy, so I did it. But I played basketball. I'd run the length of the floor just to knock somebody down. I mean, I tell you what I learned. You got a guy on the other team that's, you know, excels, and you can't defense him. Hey, you bust a kneecap, that bird don't do much. You say, that's dirty. Yeah, but look at the scoreboard, baby. Now, I wasn't saved, so the Lord forgave me for all that stuff. The same way with football, man. You get in a pile up, you sock them and punch them, and you make them pay. Here was a lady that was without hope. Had nothing. She was done. The fact is, she had a blood problem. We all got the same problem. Our blood is corrupt. And it came from Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. We were born with Adam's image and Adam's likeness. It started right and man blew it. And when Adam sinned, everyone born from that time have been born dead in trespasses and sin. You're born a sinner. It's not a question whether you want to be. It's a question whether you're going to stay that way. And so the Lord said this, the life of the flesh, it's in the blood. He said, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. So it's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. It's the life of all flesh. The blood is what God demanded as sacrifice for sin. There's oceans of blood shed all through that Old Testament. Oceans of blood. I mean, one sacrifice right after another. And I mean, it was all pointing to the day when God Himself would provide Himself a sacrifice. In Genesis 22, Abraham, he gives a great prophecy up there where Mount Calvary stood, Mount Moriah. And he said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. And that's exactly what happened. Amen. Jesus Christ showed up and John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so that was all looking ahead to that day. But our blood's corruptible. I mean, when somebody passes, I mean, I don't want to sound rude, but the first thing they want to do is get the blood out of them. Because it corrupts. It's corruptible. If you go to the doctor and you're sick, they'll take some blood out and they'll run it through some test and they'll figure out what's wrong with you. It's in the blood and ours is corruptible and we need a transfusion. Jesus Christ was born of the Holy Ghost. I mean, Mary was the mother of his humanity, but the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And she conceived, and that holy thing born of her was born of God, the Son of God. And so a child, a medical fact, a child gets his blood from his daddy. And so when he was born of Mary, his humanity, but he was born of the Holy Ghost, and his blood came from God. It was not corruptible. And this Bible says he purchased the church with his own blood, amen. He went to the cross and shed his sinless blood as payment for our sins. What God demanded, only God could supply. You think about that. I mean, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God knows all about you and me and all of us. You hadn't put your hand anywhere, young man, young lady, that God doesn't know about it. You hadn't had any kind of a thought that God doesn't know about. He knows all about it. And this Bible says He'll bring it all into judgment. Now you think about it. He knew all of that 2,000 years ago, because when He died, all of our sins were in the future. And knowing all about us, our wickedness, our tendency to do wrong and evil, the Bible says every imagination of a man's heart is evil continually, evil from his youth. And knowing all of that, the Bible says God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid out his life for his friends. He knew all of that, and He still walked up Calvary's mountain and died in our place and purchased our salvation. Why, you pardon me, that ought to make a Presbyterian shout tonight. That's something to get excited about. He loves us with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you, last night my youngest son used to say, he was just a little fella, but he'd try to quote scripture and he'd say, "My cup just runneth all over." Boy, my cup was just running all over last night. I'll tell you, it was exciting. And it's still exciting tonight. I ain't run out of gas. I'm just getting warmed up. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad I got something to preach about, somebody to brag about, somebody that can deliver. Boy, I tell you, these heroes, we build them up, man, and we build them up, and it comes to the big conclusion, and then the guy strikes out. You know, he's got a chance to win the game, and he strikes out. Well, it's just a blessing to have somebody that don't strike out. Brother, when it comes crunch time, He delivers, amen. And He delivers every time. He don't run on our schedule. I'll tell you, there have been times when I thought He wasn't going to. But He always comes through. He never fails. And this woman had a serious problem. She needed a blood transfusion. And it's still the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. The Eucharist, the Mass, is a hoax. If a Baalite priest could turn that hooch, that wine, into blood, as it professes, and he could turn that bread, that host, into the body of Jesus Christ, if he could, and you ate it, you'd be eating damnation to yourself. Because the Scripture says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, that you better not eat anything with the blood. That's before the law. Leviticus chapter 7, the Scripture says, under the law, you better not eat anything with the blood. And you go to Acts chapter 15, verse 20, in the New Testament, under grace, and they said, you better not eat anything with the blood. And that's all there is to it. And you say, would that hurt you? Sure. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, that's not what I think about it. That's what the book says about it. The Eucharist, the Mass, can't possibly help you. It can't. Salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, she had a problem with the blood. You and I got the same problem. And that's why Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, if you haven't been born again, I would encourage you to come tonight and take Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, when we get to the invitation part, we got men here, women, whoever, that would be glad to take a Bible and lead you to Jesus Christ. But you notice, all human efforts failed. And that's a picture of religion trying somehow to erect a Tower of Babel to get to heaven. And that's all it is. The Bible says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion is pure works. And you're not saved by works. The Scripture says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so it all depends on Him, not us. The fact that He's alive proves He's right and everybody else is wrong. And that's not just a statement, that's a fact. I mean, you look around, all the founders of the world's religions are dead and buried but one. I mean, you can be a good follower of Buddha, Muhammad, or any of the rest of them with Him in the ground. Doesn't matter. But if they ever found a fingernail of Jesus Christ, you and I wouldn't have anything to preach about. Everything depends on the life of the founder. And Jesus said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Our God's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. I have a living Savior tonight. He's alive. Amen. And so all human efforts had failed. And when it comes to salvation, religion is just a band-aid to try to soothe your conscience so you feel good about yourself without giving you eternal life. And boy, there's plenty of it out there. It wasn't just a few weeks ago. I was sitting at my desk reading, and some guy pulled up, and some guy jumps out, and he had a big satchel and all this junk. And I got up, and I said, "Man, what are you guys peddling?" He said, "Oh, we're just out here talking to our neighbors about the Bible." And I said, "You are?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what are you, a Mormon?" He said, "No, no, I'm a Jehovah's Witness." And I said, "Well, that's just as bad." I said, "Hit the road, dude." Jehovah's false witness would be a better description. But that's religion. You work yourself silly. I mean, really, if you know one of them fellas, ask them when they were born again. Ask them, "When did you get born again?" See what they can tell you. I mean, if you run into Campbell, I'd ask them this. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Would you go to hell? See what kind of answer you get. I ask a fellow who's been teaching Bible for more than 30 years in a Campbellite church. I ask him, "If you died today, would you go to heaven?" And I had to ask him three times before he'd answer. And when he finally answered, his testimony of salvation was, "Well, when I die, I believe I'll be in the hands of a just God, and I'll tell Him to the best of my ability I've kept the commandments." And that was his testimony of salvation. And what do you say? Well, the best you can do is trust Jesus Christ. Because He settled it. He satisfied the law. Nobody else did. Nobody else could. So, this lady was in a serious, serious problem. And unless she got a supernatural intervention from God, like the new birth, there was no hope for her. I mean, the new birth is a miracle. You understand that. When we talk about somebody getting saved, that's a miracle. It's a miracle of God. This Bible says you're spiritually circumcised in Colossians chapter 2. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Gentile, whether bond or free. We've all been made to drink into one Spirit. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And that's the Holy Spirit baptizing you into Jesus Christ. You become a part of Him and He becomes a part of you. And the Bible says it's the operation of God and it's made without hands. No preacher, no priest, no elder, no apostle. Profess an apostle. I mean, no minister. We can't do it. I couldn't save anybody. I could preach here all night and have them falling out of the third loft. I couldn't save them. The fact is, it's the operation of God. It's made without hands. It's the Holy Spirit circumcising you, cutting your soul loose from your flesh, and putting His Spirit in you to indwell you. And boy, you become a brand new creature. Why, you pardon me. I'm glad that happened to me. Well, without this miracle, there was no hope. I mean, medical science, they're still batting 1,000. 6,000 years of human history, they've not stopped anybody from dying. And you and me, we won't be the first. If the Lord don't come, somebody will have to carry us out. Now, that's a fact. When God says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment, that's true. We know that's true. But if you're saved, you don't have to worry about it. You settled out of court. And if the death angel calls, boy, you can just step out of this old body, absent from the body and present with the Lord, and boy, you can just have a time. Well, you pardon me, that ought to make a Baptist shout. And so, this lady was in a serious, dire straits. And she's a picture of a sinner hearing about Jesus Christ. Now the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, people outside these walls are lost. And you and I got the truth, and it's our responsibility to give it to them. You folks starting out on a new school year, man, you got an opportunity you'll never get back. I mean, we got a whole lot of students here. You got an opportunity to win some of your classmates to Christ, and you'll never have that opportunity again. I mean, you'll never know. I mean, we had a class reunion one time, I don't know, several years back, and I don't know how many, but a whole sack full of those people I went to school with were already dead and gone. And I don't know what kind of condition they were in, but I took the floor. They had it at the city park, and I stood up in the middle of a picnic table and preached to them for about 15 minutes. And I shocked the whole crowd. The last time they saw me, I was falling down drunk. And now here I was standing in the middle of a table preaching the gospel. You talk about a shock to a bunch of folks. Well, Jesus Christ is still in the life-changing business. And people hear about Jesus Christ, I mean, this modern age, it's passed me by. My grandson asked me what a T-Rex really looked like, and I haven't told him yet. But I mean, you look around, man, cell phones and Facebook, and I don't know what all that junk is. I don't fool with it, I mean, by choice. I realize there's a lot of good in that stuff if you use it right. But they didn't have that at this time. Jesus Christ, I mean, when you go around cleansing lepers and opening blind eyes and healing palsies and raising the dead, the Scripture says His fame went throughout that region. There wasn't any doubt. Everybody knew about this man, Jesus Christ. Even Herod in Matthew 14, verse 1, he heard of His fame. And he wanted to meet Him. He thought it was John the Baptist risen from the dead. But I mean, everyone knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this lady, she had heard of His works. I mean, Jesus said, I did works never any man did. I mean, you think about it. The blind man in John chapter 9 said, why, since the beginning of the world, it's not been heard that somebody opened the eyes of one born blind. And those Pharisees, rather than get right, like a lot of people today, they try to find fault, and they said, why, this man is a sinner. And this blind man said, well, whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Brother, I tell you, you can ask me a lot of questions tonight that I couldn't possibly answer. But I can tell you this, there was a time when I was blind and now I see. Boy, I see clearly. I see the world for what it really is. I see the devil for what he really is. I was reading in Ezekiel 31 and 32, and you're going to find out the devil, the Lord is addressing the devil through Pharaoh, and one of the comforts that the devil's going to get down in hell, you can turn and read it when you get out of here, he's going to take comfort in the fact that all those people in hell, he deceived them and led them there. He's going to rejoice and take comfort in that. Boy, isn't that something? You got an enemy, if you're lost tonight, you got an enemy that's after you, that wants to destroy you and put you in hell and then laugh at you when he gets you there. Well, what a thing. And then people will turn down Jesus Christ. My soul. Well, she heard of His works. She heard of His words. I mean, they sent some people to arrest Him and they said, never man spake like this man. He speaks as one having authority, not as one of the scribes. Boy, isn't that the truth? Man, I'll tell you, when Jesus Christ spoke to me and convicted me of sin, I didn't look around to refer the message to anybody. I knew I was guilty, but boy, you talk about somebody speaking. I heard it and heard it loud and clear. And I knew I was guilty, and I knew I better take heed to what He's got to say. Well, she heard of His ways. Jesus said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. His ways are mercy. His ways are compassion. His ways are truth. If you're sitting here tonight lost, you can throw yourself on the mercy of the court and find mercy. He'll be glad to forgive you, and He'll be glad to save you, and be glad to make something different out of you. And so, this lady heard all about Him. And she was convinced if she could just get a touch, she could get what she had need of. I read about some kids one time in Sunday school. They were being taught about sin and the devil and different things. And so the pastor came in and he asked the kids, he said, you believe in the devil? And this one child spoke up and said, nah, said he's like Santa Claus. He's my daddy. Oh, you got to love kids, man. They'll rick face you. Well, the scripture says, except you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you'll in no wise enter therein. You know what children do? They believe what you tell them. My kids were all saved at a young age. I just kept giving them the gospel. I just kept putting the gospel in them, giving them the gospel, giving it to them. And when they came to the age of accountability, to where they understood they were sinners and they were lost and going to hell, it was real simple to lead them to Jesus Christ. I didn't have to try to convince them. They believed it. You get out here preaching in the street. Well, man, we were preaching in D.C. a couple of years back, and the guy kept walking around saying, where's the proof? We was talking about Christ coming up from the dead, and where's the proof? Where's the proof? And I said, man, you're looking at it. And you think we're out here for our health? I mean, really. Nobody likes looking like an idiot. I mean, I've had people come to me and say, well, don't you know what you look like? Yeah, don't you know what you look like? I mean, really? I'm saved. I got the truth. I know what I look like. But this book says we're to go without the camp bearing his reproach. Not many people want to do that. We're living in a time of convenience. When it's convenient for me, I'll go to church. You know, it's microwave Christianity is what it is, you know. If I can throw it in a microwave in a couple of minutes, I've got everything going, I'll take part in it. But if there's any real time and effort involved, ah, forget it. I don't want to get convenience. I mean, really. We got more time-saving devices right now in the history of the world and got less time to do anything. Man, I grew up, we never had running water in the house. We barely had electricity. My mom had a wood cook stove she cooked on. And, I mean, we took a bath in a wash tub in cold water on the back porch year-round. And we was happy. We didn't realize we was poor. If somebody told us that, we wouldn't have believed it. But we didn't have all this junk, man. You know what we did? We didn't have video games and cell phones and all this junk. You wear your thumbs out and get carpal tunnel and all that stuff. Man, we got out. We was boys. We played football in our neighbor's cow pasture. You weren't supposed to, but we did. My brother tried a big end run. We knocked him down through the woods, and he hit a tree and broke his leg. So we all just walked home and left him. He laid up there for a couple of hours. Finally, somebody felt sorry for him, went back and picked him up and rode him home. Took him to the doctor and got a cast on him. We rode pigs. My neighbor raised pigs. We'd go out and jump on the pigs and ride them. We didn't have no video games. Man, we had to invent something. Use your imagination. We're living in a time when it's all right in front of you on the boob tube. You don't have to imagine nothing. And you get to talking about hell and telling people they're lost, they're going to a devil's hell, and they're going to burn forever. And they'll say, oh, I seen that on the Sci-Fi Channel the other day. Well, I don't believe there's a burning hell. Well, you'll find out. Well, you're frying like a grease ball. Hey, if you go to the party in hell, remember, you're the barbecue. Amen. Well, that's the truth. I have, over the years, had a lot of experience with people that rejected Christ. Now, I'll be done in a minute. I'm trying to quit. I worked with a young man, 26 years old, and I was working second shift. And he'd come in every day. I'd witness to him. I'd say, man, you need to get saved. I had such a burden for that guy. I mean, he was on my heart constantly. And I couldn't get him off my heart. And every day he'd come in, man, why don't you get saved? Why don't you just fix this up right now? Just get saved. He'd get mad at me every day and tell me, shut up and leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. My daddy was a deacon. I was raised in church. I know what to do. Leave me alone. Every day, same thing. And he came in one day, and he worked on down the line. Well, he went on in and went to work for about 15, 20 minutes or so, and he came back. And I seen him coming down the aisle, and I stopped him. I said, "Man, please get saved. I beg you. You're on my heart. I can't get you off. You need to get saved." He got mad again, and he said, "Shut up and leave me alone. I know what to do. I don't want to hear it. Leave me alone." That's the last thing I ever heard him say. He left there that day, left work early, went to the beer joint, and from the beer joint, he started down a crooked road and came around the road on the wrong side and met a transfer truck and went out into eternity. And I went to another county where he was from to the layout, and there was his wife and two little kids about, this tall. And they were all weeping and crying. And I told her who I was, and I worked with him. And he told her about me. He was tired of me aggravating him. And as I left and walked across the parking lot, his wife and two kids followed me crying, "Is there any chance he got saved? Did he ever have a testimony? Do you know if he got saved or not?" And I couldn't give her an answer. And that's been multiplied. I couldn't tell you how many times over the last 41 years people turn down Jesus Christ and think they got another day and another chance, and I'm young and I'll live forever and I'll get right when I take a notion. And as Oliver Green says, the people that are going to get in at the 11th hour usually die at 10:30. You have no promise of tomorrow. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I beg you, come to this altar. Take Jesus Christ. There'll be somebody here who'll be glad to take a Bible and lead you to Christ. And I promise you, we'll not embarrass you. We're not asking you to join a church or anything like that. We're asking you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's where it's at. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Well, she pictures a sinner that puts her faith in Christ and is made whole. This lady, she had made her mind up. I mean, you look at it. There's people thronging Him from every side. And why would one woman touching Him make any difference? I mean, they're pushing and shoving and gouging from every side. But the difference was that woman wanted to be healed. She had purpose. She had a desire, and she knew in herself, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I can get the help I need, and I can get it now. And with all them people pushing and shoving, sure, He knew who it was, but He wanted her to come out and make public what had happened there, that He might be glorified as the Son of God. And so, when that lady touched, she got what she asked for. And she came there seeking to be made whole. And she had enough faith to believe, if I just touch, I'll be made whole. You say, "Well, I just don't know." I had a fellow I was preaching in on that not long ago, and a guy pulling out, he waited till he pulled out. He wouldn't say nothing. He was sitting there and top down, him and this girl looked like they was fighting. I don't know. She looked like she had a black eye. And the guy, he sits there, and so when the light changes so he pulls out, he says, "God can't help me." I said, "Man, you're wrong." I said, "God's the only one can help you." I said, "Come back here." No, he wouldn't. He kept on going. But I'm telling you, I got the answer in this book. Jesus Christ is the answer. I don't care what your situation tonight, Jesus Christ is the answer. And He can settle it and settle it once and for all. She made her mind up. I always wondered, if she hadn't have touched, what would have happened? I believe she wouldn't have got healed. She'd made her mind up. If I can just touch, I'll be healed. Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost is lost. Brother, this Scott County is full of people that are almost persuaded, but they're not persuaded. They're almost persuaded, but they're not persuaded. And almost is lost. Die without Jesus Christ, go to a devil's hell and a Christless suffering eternity. And if people don't preach on hell anymore, it doesn't matter. It's still there. It's still real. I got a science book at home. I picked it up and read it, and it said, in the heart of this earth is molten lava. It's a lake of fire. I pick up a Bible and it tells me in the heart of this earth is a lake of fire. Science agrees with the Bible there's a hell and agrees as to the location of it. And if you ain't got something in you to defy gravity, when death catches you, you'll be sucked right out of this body right down into the pit. Just like God said. I beg you don't go. I beg you tonight. There's no better time and no better place than right now. Right here, right now to settle it. I remember years ago, I was trying to pastor a church. I hadn't been preaching almost 3 years. And I was so green, if you'd stuck me in the ground, I'd rooted. I didn't know what I was doing. But boy, I was having a time. And I was enjoying it. And I got up and was preaching on the rapture. Man, I was talking about the Lord coming back. And I'd stop preaching. I'd say, listen, you hear that trumpet? And boy, I noticed two guys kept running out. And they'd come back in. And then they'd go out. And then they'd come back in. And I thought, what in the world's wrong with them birds? I thought they was going to leave. And finally, I got done preaching. And I said, anybody need to get saved? And both them birds run down the aisle and dove into the altar. And they got saved. And they were scared to death. They said, man, we was convinced the Lord was going to come before you got done and before we could get saved. Now, man, they took the message serious. And they done something about it. So I hope tonight, if you're not saved, I hope you'll take the message serious and get down here and let somebody take a Bible and explain to you from the Word of God how to be saved and pray with you, and you can receive Jesus Christ and leave here, man, as happy as a dead pig in the sun. I mean, it's like a rotten egg. You just can't beat it. She had enough faith to believe that God was able. People today can't find the Lord for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. I mean, we preach in the street. We've preached in the street all summer, every week, sometimes twice a week. And I'm telling you, people, they can't find the Lord because they ain't looking. They ain't interested. I took Al Hearn, not this time, but the last time he was here, I took him in a beer joint and we preached in there. That's what a blessing, man. I love it. Watch them people, man, with their head down, they afraid to raise their beer, act like they afraid the angel of the Lord standing there with his sword fixed to take their head off or something. Man, what a blessing. They need the gospel. And when we got ready to leave, a lady got me by the arm as I walked by and said, preacher, said, pray for us. We need it. Hey, that's the kind of people I relate to. I love them. I used to be one of them. Her healing was instantaneous. Salvation's the same way, incidentally. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved immediately. It's not steps to Christ and try to work your way. None of that nonsense. Anybody that will delay you coming to Jesus Christ is not your friend. God says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And that lady, when she touched, she was healed. I read a few years ago they were having a baptism. I've even done it myself. They had to bust the ice to get in to have the baptism. It was in late December. This fellow, they took him in and dunked him. And when he came up out of the water, one of the fellows on the bank hollered at the guy that just got baptized and said, is the water cold? And he said, no. And he said, preacher, dunk him again. He's still lying. Well, I figured this out, and I'm done. I'm fixing to quit. I really am. I know y'all are hot, and it's hot up here too. But I figured out you can enjoy life as a saved individual, and you don't have to do anything illegal, immoral, or fattening. You don't have to. Now we do. Man, I love ice cream. I could eat a gallon of ice cream right now. I love it. Temperance. Moderation. But really, you can be saved, and you honestly, saved people can enjoy life without doing all this garbage that the world says you're supposed to do to have all the fun. Hey, listen, if they're having so much fun, why did somebody like Whitney Houston, with all the fame and fortune, dope herself into eternity and then her daughter follow suit? Why did somebody like Elvis Presley, the king, why did he dope himself into eternity? I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and I could name you rock stars, I could name you sports stars, I could name you musicians, movie stars, you name it. that just took the fast train out because God says you're going to reap what you sow. And they see all them ships they've loaded with all the devilment they've produced in their life that they've sent out. And they see all them ships coming in and they look around and figure they're the only one going to be able to unload them. And they just take the fast train out, boy. They don't have the peace of God at all. Brother, I'll tell you, when you come to Jesus Christ, I am done. I really am. But I'll tell you this, I've slept through 2 tornadoes. And my wife, we were going through Alabama one time. She was driving, and I was asleep. And before I went to sleep, man, it was black. And you could, and I knew, man, it was fixing to get rough. I went to sleep. And we drove through a tornado going on down to Florida. I didn't worry about it. I've got the peace of God right here. But it don't matter what comes and what goes. I am steadfast, safe, and secure. My anchor holds. I don't have to worry about it. So, if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I'm going to quit. I'm not done, really. I could preach 2 more hours, but I'm going to quit. Enough's enough. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, why don't you come? Why don't you just not worry about anything? And just, when we give this invitation, you just get down the aisle, tell somebody you need to get saved. They'd be glad to take a Bible and lead you to Jesus Christ and settle it. Will you bow your heads? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have an invitation. After I pray, I'm going to ask you to stand. And if you need to do business with God, you come, all right? Father, thank you again for this time. I pray now, Lord, you look beyond my foolishness and you'll take the Word of God and speak to hearts. Lord, you know who here tonight needs to be saved. Pray, God, you'll draw them, deal with them, convict them. Lord, you are interested in their salvation. You said you're not willing that any perish but all come to repentance. So, Lord, I pray tonight that you'll draw them and you'll trouble them. And, Lord, bind any evil forces that would hinder them from taking that step. And Lord, if there's some of your people that need to make a choice tonight, Lord, I don't know what you may have said to anybody, but you know. And I pray you'll just move on the hearts, Lord, and do only what you can do. And whatever you do tonight, Lord, we're going to praise you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand? If you have a need tonight, you come, all right?
Everyone praying. Of course, you're saved and you want to make some decisions for the Lord tonight, make some new commitments. Of course, you're welcome to come. But as Brother Gary has preached tonight, if you've never been saved, right now is the day of salvation. That's